All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. So good morning, everyone. Hopefully everybody's awake and ready to go this morning, because we're going to have a lot of interesting things for everybody to listen to and take away, and I think we'll have some exciting activities that go on during our presentation. So we are from Nationwide Insurance, and we're going to talk to you today about Spot, which you kind of see logoed around a little bit, our use of social and the other things that we do. And so to start, let me introduce myself. I'm Chris Plesha, and I'm the leader over a couple of areas of Nationwide. So I've got our collaboration team, I've got our data insights and analytics team, as well as our digital, which is kind of nationwide.com, our mobile, and our social space. And before I introduce one of the co-speakers, there's going to be several of us coming up and talking today. And by the time we're done, we'll have questions at the end, and so we ask that people use the mics. And you can talk to our teams up here afterwards if you want to come up and have specific questions you don't want to ask in front of the group, as well as you can contact us online. We're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn, we've got our emails posted up here. And actually, Jeff is single for anybody, so he's actually on Match.com too. So.
Thank you. You can find me on Match, there you go. Way to get it started. So, as you can see, I lead the enterprise collaboration and marketing team. So there's a lot of people in this room. There's a few people in this room with Spot shirts. That's one of the things that we'll talk about today. It's one of the areas I'm responsible for. I've come from a Silicon Valley background, so I'm a tech guy. I've spent most of my career in the startup world. And Nationwide brought me to Nationwide about 5.5 years ago to help change the culture. And that's part of what you're going to be able to see today in today's presentation. So. That said, I'm going to pass it over to Chris to get us kicked off.
All right. So thanks, Jeff. What we're going to do, we're going to kind of talk about, so there's something we're going to hit for everybody in here. We'll talk about why we built what we did, what we actually built, and you'll get the specifics behind it from a technical perspective, and then we'll talk about how we've made it work, some of the org change and adoption things, and kind of the secret sauce that we've put out there. And so what you'll see today, again, it's going to all be about things that you heard yesterday. So we'll touch on how we're actually using mobile, the cloud, big data, social, collaboration, all coming together in this solution for the enterprise. And from an enterprise perspective, I think people, if anybody watched the Olympics, which were just on, you saw some of our new commercials out there. So just a real quick plug for Nationwide. Headquartered in Columbus, Ohio, about 37,000 associates across the country. We're a leading carrier of auto, home, life, commercial, banking, financials, and pet insurance. So what's really key about what our themes are, other than the Nationwide is on your side, is that we want to protect what matters most for our members. And so we've kind of flipped that internally to say we want to produce and deliver what matters most to our associates and the things that we build and things that we do for them. So the first thing I'm going to go into is our social network. So it's a little bit of social. I promised my kids I'd Snapchat them this morning, so I'm going to take a real quick. So if everybody can wave and say hi, I'll just kind of. All right, perfect. Thank you. I'll set that one to 10 seconds and save it. So social is a big deal, right? And if when we leverage it across the enterprise, the things we do from a social perspective are communicate and have a great dialogue and share and do the things we want. We started with Yammer in 2008, and so we've been on it for 6 years now that we've been leveraging that solution. And what's kind of amazing is if you look at our journey, we've got over 30,000 registered members on our Yammer network, over 500,000 messages have been posted, and we've got a 50% contribution rate. What's important with the contribution rate is that a healthy network has 10% contribution. So if you have 10% of the people in your network that like, post something, answer a question, look at things, and actively interact with that network, that's a healthy network. We've got a 50% participation rate, which is a pretty big deal, and I'll talk about how we got that lift in all the folks that participate. And you have your normal long number of creepers and lurkers out there, which it just happens, right? One of the big things that's important for us is there's over 500,000 connections. So when you think about an enterprise like ours, we're positioned across the country, teams are everywhere. Over 500,000 connections are made by people following each other, and then somebody follows them. And the whole point of this, and the reason we're proud of this, is if you say something on Yammer, your voice gets heard. And so what's powerful about our social network at Nationwide is when you ask a question or you say something, your voice is heard. And we've started to adopt it from just a conversation piece. We're using this in other ways. So we've used Yammer on our associate meeting. So for 37,000 associates in various places across the country, most of them in Nationwide Arena, the hockey arena in Columbus, Ohio, we leveraged Yammer to allow us to, you can see on the outside, the smaller screens, we leveraged a tool that you've actually seen the little black flyers around here for it. And what that does is it actually gives you the feeds from Yammer. So those feeds, feed falls comes across the screen. So everybody's snapshotting themselves and pushing it up there. So all of a sudden around the country, everybody feels connected to the center location. And you see teams doing different things. And you can see here's a live shot of that as it goes on. And it's pretty powerful for us. So that allowed us to do these different things. What was important is during this time, we already had a high rate of participation, but associate engagement lifted, and you could actually test the sentiment on the network and see that people were excited about who they worked for and where they worked. So it was another good use of the tool outside of just saying, hey, it's a conversation piece. Another thing we did, and so if you've seen our advertisements, was Meet My Baby. So publicly, we had people take their babies or their cars or their RVs or their boats or their house or whatever. That's what they want to protect the most. So we thought, how do we turn that inside? So we allowed internal associates to have a competition that we could meet their babies. And so they posted pictures of their cars and their boats and I guess their kids too, I'm not sure, but other stuff. And we had over 1,500 posts in this little, just again, effort to drive adoption and energy around the tools inside. And with those, we gave out a couple $100 gift cards. But again, you start to drive energy in different uses of the tools. So quick, everybody watch the show Undercover Boss? All right, three of you? Okay. Well, it's this cool show, and the boss goes undercover. So you can imagine a long-tenured conservative insurance company in Columbus, Ohio. It's kind of hard to take our CEO and give him long hair and beard and send him down to the mailroom and have him walk around and act like he's trying out for a job, being followed by a camera crew. So the whole merit of that is how do you get the voice from the front lines into the building and up top? And so we have a similar problem with Nationwide. And what we have is we have contact centers around the country. And like most companies, your contact centers can talk. And there's a number of associates in them, but we have the big thing on these is they have a knowledge base that's out there. And they kind of share information across a few of them, but not all of them. And some do sales and some do service. And so essentially what ends up happening is even though they have some tools that help them, they act as individual silos. They're not connected. And so what we thought of is with this undercover boss team, how do we start to get them to share and communicate better? But at the same time, how do we let the executives at the top of the tower understand what's really going on out in the field? And so as you think about it, what we started to do was create this contact center, this social graph of what's going on out there. And what we did is came up with a way for associates to talk to our leaders and others and essentially let their voices be heard. And it's really powerful when you have a 23-year-old graduate who's on the phone helping people with investments or their insurance. And they have a real concern. And by the time it gets to the CEO or the president, it's like, well, they just thought that the phones weren't working that day or the systems were down. But the reality was they're saying, no, there's something really wrong with the products we sell or the way we're actually servicing these things. And so what we came up with was a program to empower. And this is actually the logo we use. And our associates use Yammer as the communication vehicle to get their voice to the top of the house. And so the way it kind of works is, let's see if this builds. They can give feedback talk about pain points, share ideas. And what's beautiful about the tool is they can use it from any device. So I can be at lunch and go, hey, you know, I got an idea. I forgot to say that when I was at work. They can put it in here. They can put it in at home. So any browser in the world, they can get to this and put it into that network. They hashtag. So we got a series of hashtags that this team sets up that might be change, billing, pain point, whatever it might be. And there's a group that actually are assigned to each hashtag. They actually take that, read it, and get it to that senior executive. And so we've been able to start to do this, to listen, and to the fact that we actually had a call center rep that said, I think the metric you're using is dumb because you're telling me to get off the phone really quick to take the next call. And by the time that funneled up in the traditional way, the message at the top of the house was, well, we need more phone reps because there's, you know, more calls to take and we need to have the time to take those calls, and if you have more people, we can take more calls. When essentially they're saying, you're measuring my performance and my salary based upon how fast I go, yeah, I got it, click, yeah, got it, click. And so when the executive actually got the feed straight from the line and read it, he's like, well, what are you guys measuring? So now you've got the president at the top of the house asking his leaders, what are you measuring? And they're like, well, speed to call and speed to answer. And he's like, well, what about speed to actually take care of our member? And that's pretty powerful when he saw that. So believe it or not, that metric has now changed, and it's not how fast they can get off the phone. And there are some other examples where we've done that. So looking at the slide, it's not rocket science. It's just empowering those frontline associates to have a voice and to be heard. So with that, while Yammer was growing inside and our social network was taking off over those past several years, the world around us was changing. And so Jeff's going to kind of talk through that now.
All right, guys, so I'm going to take you through the next portion of our presentation. So let's start off by looking at a timeline, quick timeline. In 2008, Yammer launched, right? So 2008, September 2008, that's when we started. At that same time, that's when Apple and Google both launched their app stores. Okay, now we all use it every single day, but over 6 years ago is when they were launched. Just 1 year after that, over 1 billion downloads had happened from apps all over the world. Just 1 year, over 1 billion downloads. In 2010, Apple released their first iPad. Samsung released their Galaxy Tab. Tablets were starting to change the working environment. We all, you know, a portion of us use tablets in our work every single day. When Apple first released their first tablet, everybody thought that nobody was going to use it. It was a giant iPhone. And now we see that that's exactly not the case. But in 2011, over 1 million apps now had existed in the stores, and downloads totaled over 20 billion. Think about that. Just in a couple years, 20 billion downloads of all the applications in those stores. By 2012... That's by far the best slide in this whole presentation. So you might as well just get up and go now. So by 2012, Angry Birds have reached 1 billion downloads globally, while all other apps, 40 billion downloads. 1/40th of all the apps downloaded was Angry Birds by 2012. In 2013, more than an exabyte of data travels around the mobile network every single month. And I know you're all looking at me saying, what the heck is an exabyte? So let's put it in your terms. That's 1 billion gigabytes. And for the geeks in the room who are curious, that's downloading the entire Star Wars series 130 million times. Right? So if you can do that, you probably have a crazy internet connection. I'm going to probably move to where you are. But let's play a quick game to help prove the point a little bit. I want to play a quick game to take you through this. How many people know what this logo is? Just shout it out. Facebook. That's an easy one, right? We all know that. What about this one? Okay, let's take them up a notch, make them a little bit harder. How about this? Okay. Vine, a little quieter now, right? See? Vine, online video sharing platform, 6-second videos. What about this one? Vimeo, online video sharing platform as well. This? Foursquare. It is not TurboTax. This is TurboTax. For those that are wondering, I've done this presentation with a couple of these slides a few times, and people do shout out TurboTax. That's Foursquare, that's TurboTax. Very close, but it's funny. I can see where everybody's minds are right now. What about this logo? Yelp. Yelp. Yeah, Yelp seems to be dying a little bit, but people are using it still. What about this? Snapchat. I know there's Snapchatters in here. Chris is a Snapchatter. He sent it to his kids. We're all using it. What about this one? A little bit harder. Spotify. I heard somebody say it in the back. Clearly listening to music during our presentation. That's okay. Next slide. Let's check out this one. Evernote. A lot of us are Evernoters. We use it to share notes online in the cloud. We all use it. It's an application that's used pretty widely around the world. How many of these people are here in this room? Reddit. We have Redditors here? Woo! Yeah, we got at least 10 Redditors. Cool. Well, while this was happening, what about this stupid application? How many people recognize what this is? Yeah, Flappy Bird. Flappy Bird, an application that no longer exists in any of the stores, over a month ago was one of the fastest growing applications in the world. Over 50 million downloads of this app in a single month. In fact, the developer who built it out of Vietnam was making $50,000 a day from the application sitting on people's phones. If you're curious now, he took it off the stores. You can't get it. People are selling their phones with this application for over $1,000 on eBay. But now this application doesn't exist. In fact, the number one application that does the same thing is called Pugo. It just launched. It's the number one app in the iOS store. In fact, in a 24-hour period on February 26, over 293 applications or games were launched in the iOS app store. 293 games were launched on that single day. Over 95 of them were clones of this Flappy Bird game, trying to create that same experience. So, as you see, some people might be using this application as well. This is Facebook Paper, created by Michael Reckow, the guy who created Facebook's newsfeed as well. And the idea here is this product is so simple to use. It's a relook at your entire Facebook newsfeed. And people probably aren't necessarily using it today, but overall, hopefully Facebook is thinking that you're going to ultimately transition to this tool. But this is a simple application. But the most important thing about this application that I want to call out is that I've made a comment in the past in that when you're designing applications or you're designing intranets, if you have to train for it, you've probably failed somewhere in your design. How many people here have taken training for Facebook? Right? Not many people raise their hands. But the reality of it is training has become part of the product now. Training is embedded in the product. If you're a gamer in this room and you game, you're actually walking through the training session in the first part of your career. They're teaching you how to play the game. You got to focus on all these little things. Facebook did the same thing as you onboard in this application. You need to think about the whole experience, and training is becoming part of the product. There's literally millions of applications in the world now that exist that we all use every single day. In fact, I'm pretty confident that if we look at everybody's phone, it could probably become a DNA fingerprint for who you are, because everyone has a different set of applications on their device. But if you look at some of these applications, as we called out, didn't call out Behance, which is the first one, it's a social network for designers, but literally, these applications are changing how we interact and live every single day. We're all using it every single day. In fact, you're probably using it in this room right now, taking pictures, Snapchatting, all that kind of stuff. This consumer trend, though, that's in fact impacting all of us outside of work, is impacting us inside of work, too. We're all consumers. We're all people. We all come to work every single day. We should be thinking about this, right? How does this consumer trend impact the enterprise? How does it impact us as companies? So this is what we wanted to look at. Nationwide took to the drawing board. If you watched our YouTube video, everybody in this room is going to leave with something new today, learning something new, whether you're a developer, an executive, an IT professional, you're in corporate communications, you're going to learn. So we took to the drawing board. We set up cards on our board. We started writing down ideas. As you can see, design ideas, task ideas. How does this trend of applications impact us? We've got some of our developers, Matt and Corey, thinking about some of this stuff. We got this giant perceptive pixel display. If you're wondering what this thing is in the front of the room, it's not a giant monitor. It's an 82-inch touchscreen device that is really powerful. If you ever watch the if you watch some of the Olympics, if you watch NBC, if you watch ESPN, if you watch the weather, they use this device around the world to do different things with their fingers. We use it as well to have meetings and share some of our ideas and collaborate together. And we're going to show you some of its usage later today. With some of our launches, our product ideas, our product launches, we actually codenamed a lot of our releases. The team came up with this. I will not take credit for Lavender Lion, but that is something that they've decided to call one of our March releases for a product that we've built that I'm going to show you here in a second. But what did we want, right? Ultimately, what did we want to achieve as we're thinking about all this stuff? Well, we wanted a simple consumer-like user experience. This is the same thing with the applications that you use every single day. We wanted a one-stop shop for knowledge. We wanted things that would make our job easier, because as it is today, it's hard enough, right? Let's find ways to make our jobs easier. Search that actually works. How many people here have an intranet with search that actually works? 5 people, right? Search never really works in an enterprise environment. Why is that? Because we never invest in it. We never pay attention to it. We never think about why can it or how can it be easier. The opposite, or enterprise search or search within your company is the exact opposite of Bing and Google. You are actually looking for the needle in the haystack. You are not looking for the needle in the haystack when you're using Google or Bing. You're willing to accept one of the first 10 results. When you're at work every single day and you're performing a search, you're looking for the marketing presentation that happened in April given by this person, and you want slide 17 from it, right? That's exactly what you're looking for. So we wanted search that would work, so when people type something, they would get the results that ultimately they were looking for. A friendly mobile experience. Mobile devices changing the world, right? Over 1 exabyte of data traveling around the mobile network every single month. We wanted to incorporate that into our experience. Integration with Yammer, as Chris talked about earlier. We had one of the world's best Yammer implementations. Significant adoption, 30,000 plus members, 500,000 messages, 500,000 connections, 50% contribution rate. We wanted to retain what works, integrate this Yammer social network with our product. Ultimately, we created Spot. And I'm going to get into Spot here in a few seconds and actually show you some of what we've been able to do, take you through some demos, then ultimately we're going to show you how to do it and how to build it. So for any developers in this room, you'll learn some of the things that we've been able to do as well. But Spot, so we looked at our intranet, and we launched Spot about a year and a half ago now. We launched Spot back in second quarter of 2012. You'll see on this timeline, we start talking about applications. How do we incorporate apps, this trend, right, into our intranet, our localized intranet? People are thinking apps. If you're not thinking apps, you probably need to be thinking apps because everyone else around you is. So as we started thinking about it, we launched apps in fourth quarter, and then second quarter of 2013, we launched more apps, and then just recently, we launched a new experience, Spot version 2.0, which you're going to see today, all focused on this whole app model of an intranet. Let's look at Spot when we first launched a year and a half ago. This is not what it looks like today, but a year and a half ago, we took our intranet, and we removed everything off that intranet homepage, literally everything, the news, everything. And we put a search box up there and said, people are expecting to search. We're finding through our focus groups, the people that we talk to, user experience, et cetera, people want to search. They want to find this stuff, search that actually works. We invested in it. We hired 2 people just focused with their job titles, make search work. That's literally all their job is make search work. So we removed everything, put search up there at the front, made it really easy to find some things. Let's take a second here to think about the app model and applications. It should be easy when you're at work every single day to think about how many days do you have off, right? Days of vacation, this is a very personal thing. You want to know how many days you have off. At Nationwide, in the past, in order to figure this out, you had to open up an Excel document, create a mathematical formula. It was very, very difficult. I'm not even kidding you. You should be able to log into a website and see I have 25 days, or if you're a new employee, you have 4 days off. Not really, they actually get 21, but... It was very difficult. People created Excel documents, shared it on Yammer with this calculation, finding out how many days you have off. Just plug in a number here and do some wizardry and you'll be able to find out. Ideally, it should be, what if you made it simple, right? This is something so easy. It should be so easy. Days off. You should see it. Right? It comes from a giant HR system that's very difficult to use. But what if you made it simple? What if you simply just made a little application that, oddly enough, just told you how many days you had off, right? That's not magical, it's simple. We built this application connecting into one of our HR systems in less than 24 hours, did the math for everybody. That's all we did, we did the math. We built a little app, a micro app, of which you're gonna see multiple today, a micro application that runs on our intranet that simply tells people how many days off they have. You wanna know what we saved? Just the saving from everybody wasting all the time trying to calculate this stuff. We saved $1 million. Per year. Thanks, Christoph. Per year. $1 million per year. In fact, to build the entire intranet, it cost us less than what we saved. Right? So when you're putting together business cases, think about that. You can save from one little micro application, $1 million per year. So you might be wondering, well, where are we today, right? What are you talking about with all these applications? Let's take a quick second to look at Spot. When you look at our internet homepage today, it looks like this. It does look like a Windows Surface device. It also kind of looks like an iPad, looks like Windows 8. It's actually a combination of the two. We brought employees in through multiple focus groups and studied from them. We learned from them. We asked them for feedback. And ultimately, we wanted to incorporate their ideas into our intranet. We wanted this product to be their own product. In fact, they came up with the brand Spot. They named it themselves. We wanted them making sure that this was something that they could love. So this is our homepage. You see there's multiple types of applications there. These applications can be created by anyone within our company. And you might be thinking this is running on SharePoint, which it is. We've extended the SharePoint 2013 platform to create this experience, but we made it so developers with any skill set, whether or not they're Java developers, C-sharp developers, Python, Ruby, it doesn't matter, they can build an application that they can launch within our Spot environment. These applications are focused on introducing productivity, raising engagement, all that stuff, and they connect into those giant enterprise systems that are difficult to use that we all use every single day. We wanted to make it so employees can personalize the experience, right? Put it in edit mode, change the colors, add their own background image, all that kind of stuff. This is things employees want to do. In order to bring them back to your intranet, they got to feel like it's their own, right? They got to feel like it's their page, not yours. The other thing we did was we created something called Hotspots, also branded by Nationwide employees. Sections of the page that they can drag applications to, right? Create a new hotspot, then call it whatever they want, then call it time-wasting games, if they want to call it that. Then call it time productivity-gaining applications, miscellaneous, etc. We built our own custom drag-and-drop interface as well, using some of the frameworks that we'll talk about later in our presentation. On top of that, we built our own app market. If you use SharePoint 2013, you will get an app store. It is not a localized app store focused just for your intranet. It is for everybody in the world to use. Our model that we wanted to try to create was our own enterprise app store. If you're not thinking about launching your own enterprise app stores, you need to be, because by the year 2017, according to Gartner, over 80% of all enterprises will have their own enterprise app store. So start thinking about it. But we built our own app store. We had to call it App Market because we were worried about, you know, lawsuits from certain companies. But anyway, App Market is what we ultimately launched with. You also, just kind of interesting tip, you cannot have rounded corner applications on your intranet because apparently Apple will sue you. We didn't get sued, but they do own the patent for cornered images or icons or tablets on a homepage. So you cannot use that. That's why we wound up with squares, despite the fact that people wanted it. What happens when you're in the app market and you click on an application? Well, we built an application also in less than 24 hours called the Fun Facts app. This probably is our most popular application running on our intranet. All it does is it has bring back power. What's bring back power? It's the power to bring people back to your page every single day. Sometimes news is not enough, right? You need something that they're interested in. So we created this Fun Facts app that all it does is display a little fact every single day on the intranet. There are approximately 293 ways, for instance, to make change for a dollar. That's something you might see when you come to our intranet. As well, when you browse over, you click an application, you see information about it, you can like it, you know, you can follow it, which are called out up here. This is integration with Yammer's Open Graph. What does that mean, Yammer's Open Graph? What happens when somebody's in our app market, they click on an application, they click like or follow? What the heck does that do? Right? What does that do? Well, when you click it, here's a picture of our Nationwide Insurance Yammer page. When somebody actually clicks like or follow on an application, what it does is it posts to Yammer's Activity Center. You can see it right here. Spot posts an event to Yammer. Well, what's that do? So it says Cameron, for instance, just liked this Fun Facts application. What it does is we see a spike in traffic back to our intranet, back to Spot. Instantly, a spike in traffic. When you have 30,000 people using Yammer, 50% contributing every single day, and suddenly you post an event to that Activity Center, people see it. It's literally a measurable increase in cross-pollinating traffic between the two environments, people sharing information back and forth. We're now suddenly receiving traffic from our social network to our intranet that we were never experiencing before. So what else did we kind of create in this experience? What else did we focus on? We launched as well something called Nationwide Maps, another application running in our intranet, Nationwide Maps. We all use maps every single day. Some of us use Bing Maps. Some of us use Google Maps. We all use maps. But ideally, Nationwiders did too. In fact, our study showed that before everybody leaves for work every single day, a lot of people go to check the traffic conditions and see what traffic is like before they leave. Right? Sometimes they're looking at weather. We're from Columbus, Ohio. of which we just got snow like a couple days ago. It's freaking cold there. We check the weather all the time. Nationwide maps is something we said. What if we just create our own mapping system, something that we use to keep employees' eyes in our intranet every single day? And we partner with a big vendor, so we partnered with Esri for creating this experience. But ideally, we can make it very extensible. Anyone can create layers on this map, making it simple for them to plot different things. Things like policies or policy density, which I'll show you here in a live demo in a second, as well as traffic potentially, searching for locations. I won't want to get into too much on the slide because I'm actually going to show you how it works. So I'll get into that here in a second. What about another application? How about something called the Anything Locator? Today we all struggle every single day finding things at work, finding people, finding conference rooms, finding anything. We wanted to tackle the problem. Let's make it easier to find anything in our environment. It doesn't matter what it is. Let's just make it easy to find anything. So we called it the Anything Locator. We built an application. How many people are familiar with how Wikipedia works, right? Most of us. Wikipedia is an encyclopedia, online encyclopedia that anyone can edit, create pages, create content. We all can edit it. It's called crowdsourcing. We wanted to take that model and apply it to this Anything Locator and give Nationwiders the power, wherever they are in the world, to load a building, a floor, doesn't matter what it is, and be able to plot certain pins and tag them with whatever it might be. We added some pre-different set ideas like conference rooms, things like that. People, you can add assets within conference rooms, making it simple for you to be able to find which conference room has telepresence in it that can fit 16 people. That's one of the things we were focused on doing. Where does Jeff sit on this floor? Many people waste many, many minutes every single day walking around the floor trying to find out where people sit. So we made it so any employee can share their own location and tag where they sit, something very simple to do. Ultimately, you can tag pretty much anything, and that's why it is called the Anything Locator. But rather than talking to some of the slides, I want to actually show you some of this stuff live. I want to take you into some of this experience, spend a couple minutes to just click around, give you the chance to see it. What I'm also going to do is I'm going to invite James up here. James Tsai is our technical lead, one of the most brilliant individuals you'll probably ever have the opportunity to meet with. So if you have a chance to talk to him after this session, you'll definitely want to talk to him. But what we're going to do is we're going to show you, I'm going to do a demo on the screens up here and show you that everything that we've built is also touch-friendly, responsive, highly responsive. So James is going to also walk through a demo as well on that PPI device while I'm walking through a demo up here. But I want to kind of show you some of this stuff. So let me switch to this computer and take a second here. Oops. If I type my password correctly. Bring up this. This is by far the coolest setup, by the way. I wish I had this everywhere. So when you load our intranet, and you load Spot every single day, you see this type of experience, right? You see all of my tiles, all my app icons that I've had the opportunity to kind of see, or to choose myself to add to my screen. You can see in the top left-hand corner of mine, I've got the Yammer application as well. Yammer, Nationwide Classifieds, might be hard to see, so let me zoom in here for a second while James is getting the PPI device up. So Yammer, Nationwide Classifieds, History and Archives, Maps, etc. These are applications that Nationwiders have built that I've chosen to add to my screen. Classifieds is basically like Nationwide's own Craigslist. People sell things on it. They save their time, but instead of going to Craigslist, we can actually get people collaborating together integrated with Yammer. So let's just quickly click for a second. I'll click the Yammer one, which uses Yammer Embed. As you know, if you try to use Yammer Embed, sometimes it could be slow starting up, so it'll take a second here. We're working with Yammer to actually kind of improve some of this experience with our integration. But this is Yammer Embed. It's a simple application, probably take you 3 seconds to create. And we knew that too. That's why we built it. We wanted to retain what worked. So we built this experience where anybody can quickly go through and see what's happening in their feed on Yammer, never having to leave our intranet, right? Never having to actually go to Yammer. And soon we're actually working on an experience with integrating Yammer into our main workspace, which is what we call this. But it looks like Microsoft is doing that too, so we might want to kind of hold off on that. But anyway, so let's take a look at another application. Let's look at, here's kind of interesting. It's this Fun Facts app. Isaac Asimov is the only author of a book in every Dewey Decimal category. This is the stuff that people care about, right? This is bring back power, right? They look for this thing. They look for these types of things. Let's go into Nationwide Maps. Nationwide Maps, an application that we talked about a second ago. It's going to take a second here to load as it connects to Esri. What it does, if you're not on a corporate or conference intranet or conference wired, it would actually detect your location and bring me to that portion of the map. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up the box up here. And I'm going to start typing Columbus, Ohio. Give it a second here. Columbus. Well, apparently, there's a lot of Columbuses. Let's do Columbus, Ohio. So it'll bring me down to Columbus. This is where we're from, Buckeye State. Anybody from Buckeye State here besides for us? Woo! OH! Yeah. All right. Sorry for any Michigan fans here, of which there seems to be a few. All right, so what you can do is when you're an employee on our intranet, you can bring up Nationwide Maps. One of the things that people ask me is, where's the ROI on this intranet? How do you show the return on investment, right? Well, how about if we give employees the capability to easily plot in this Nationwide Maps experience, like the weather, right? So they turn on the weather. Hopefully, you know, it's usually always raining in Columbus, but I turned on the weather, so let's zoom out just so you can see it. Over here, there's some up at the top. Not really much. But they can turn on the weather and see if there's storms going on, you know, snow, which is usually the case now for us. But on top of that, they can also turn on something of which we don't have right now called Hurricane Watch. There's no hurricanes going on right now, so there's nothing I can kind of show you. But when you turn on Hurricane Watch, what it does is it shows you all the hurricanes and tropical storms happening around the world. And these hurricanes, right, they directly affect Nationwide Insurance. We want to know, how are they going to affect our policyholders? Is it worse for us if it hits this region? Obviously, we don't want it to hit any regions, but is it worse for us if it hits this portion of the country or that portion of the country? This is what our president of Nationwide Insurance cares about. So what we did was we partnered with our claims group and said, what if we plotted policy density on Nationwide Maps? It made it easy to see where all our policyholders are in the world, right? And you can quickly see with live weather turned on as well as Hurricane Watch, you can see whether or not it was going to be worse for us. You know, if a hurricane never comes to Ohio, so let's kind of go down here. Whether or not a hurricane, it's worse for us to hit the Jacksonville area or the Wilmington area. So let me zoom in here for a second for you. You can kind of see there's a lot of policyholders down there in Wilmington. It'd probably be better if it kind of hit a little bit north of that. Ideally, we don't want it to hit anywhere. But this is sort of some of the stuff that we can now quickly see on a mapping experience live in real time. On top of that, many people, as we were talking about looking for locations, Nationwide Buildings, right? Let me turn off policy density for a second. Show you Nationwide Buildings and zoom in here. We have buildings all around the country. We just simply wanted to plot all our locations and make it simple to see where employees were from, where most employees were. We're building right now integration between this and the Anything Locator, which is I'm going to show you here now, to quickly be able to find people in each location. But this is an extensible framework, so Nationwiders can add and create their own layers if they think they're valuable, and that's what we're getting to. If I go back to the workspace here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you into my app market. Apparently it's 61 and mostly sunny here in Las Vegas. These are live tiles, so they update as the weather changes, just to give you an idea. That's another thing that we can do, too. Corporate communications, for instance, can push news to that homepage to be able to change on everybody's screens in real time. So we built this application market, this app store, and we have some pretty cool things that I want to show you. For instance, when anybody adds an application to their screen, we've got these nifty little installed banners to let them know that they've installed an app on the homepage of our intranet. It's quickly an easy way for them to see what's there and what's not. We've also got, if I bring up the Anything Locator here, the ability to add or install apps to your homepage. We also made it so you can post screenshots. If you're a developer, when you submit an app to our app store, you can have screenshots or a description. We've integrated with Yammer to do reviews and be able to have reviews. SharePoint 2013, out of the box, within their application framework, does not have built-in reviews. It does not have built-in commenting for those apps. You'll probably need to build that yourself or work with a vendor. It's simple to do, and you're going to learn how to do it today as our developers take you through some of that very quickly. But if I click quickly here, add an application, installing an app, it said app successfully added to my workspace or added to my intranet. So I'm going to go ahead and click the workspace back here, and you'll see the Anything Locator was added to my favorite section. What I can do is I can change the colors of my intranet if I want to. I can go from color to color, all that kind of stuff. One of the cool things I call out, the team did this, so congratulations to the team. I think this is awesome. Depending on what color an employee chooses, we calculate the luminance of that background so that way we can change our spot logo at the front of the page or at the top of the page from a black spot logo to a white spot logo depending on what's easier to read, right? Luminance, calculating that stuff. So I'm going to change my color to blue for a second, maybe add some nifty little background there. And then I'm going to create a new hotspot here, and I'm going to drag this tile over there, and I can call that whatever I want. That looks good. I'm going to click check mark. That'll go down. I'm going to go into Anything Locator. Anything Locator is that thing that you can find anything. Let's quickly go to floor, maybe building in Columbus, Plaza 3. This is where I work, floor 19. It's the floor. It quickly tells you on the floor what are some of the things people tagged. So projectors, whiteboards, phones, ice machines, vending machines, coffee machines, because clearly we all want to know where the best coffee maker is. We have the capability to do that nationwide now. Viewing on a map will let me see quickly that floor, and immediately it's going to show me all the conference rooms that have been added. If I want to click on them, I can see this one's rain, I can see this one's sun. If I only know the name and I don't know where it's at, and click on the left here and say, where's sleet? Oh, it's down over here in the lower right-hand corner. What about people that have tagged themselves, like Greg Sika or Matt Huber? These are members of the SPOT team. You can see they sit in that lower area of the floor right over there. You have the ability as well, so to add or move your location. So this nifty little pin thing pops out here, and I can quickly drag, you know, with my finger if I want to set and confirm my location. Now that's where I sit. So if anybody comes back to this experience and switches to people search, and they start searching for Jeff Schumann, they'll be able to click me, and it'll bring me right to wherever I am in the world, showing them exactly where I sit. But beyond that, the crowdsourcing capability, some more bring back power that we've created is, what happens if they haven't shared their location, like Eric Schutz there? If he hasn't shared his location, it says no location, so I can quickly click that link and I'll shoot him an email letting him know that, hey, somebody's looking for you, where you sit. If you click it, you know, ultimately, you know, he might come back to the site and share exactly where he sits, and it makes it easier for me to find him later. This is saving us literally millions and millions of minutes every single year. Millions. Calculate that. Calculate the ROI on that. It's literally millions of millions of dollars built on SharePoint 2013 of ROI. And this is literally just two simple ideas around that you can build. Another thing I like just very briefly talk about before I hand it over here to Sean is another thing that we're working on right now. As managers, or as leaders in this room, ultimately we have to approve a lot of things. Approve travel, approve, you know, expense reports, all that sort of stuff, timesheets. If you're like us, you have to go to multiple applications to approve these things. It takes forever, and you waste your time every single day. Ideally, all these systems have ways to get out data and get data into them. So we're working on building right now a My Approvals application that would make it easy for a manager or a leader to be able to approve everything in a single app, in a single view, saving them all the time that they need as well. So I'm going to go ahead and skip this next slide, which was a backup recording of the demo in case network wasn't working, and introduce for you Sean Domer, one of the developers on my team, our intranet upgrade lead, he took us from SharePoint 2013 with our group to SharePoint 2010 to SharePoint 2013. And what we're going to do now for the next portion of the presentation is tell you how we built some of the stuff we built. So if you're taking notes and you're curious about what to tell your technical teams, or if you are a technical, you know, member of this audience, take some notes, because we're going to go through all that stuff now. So this is Sean Domer.
Hey, everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and dive right in. So SharePoint, as you guys know, is a powerful platform. But in some cases, just like Jeff hinted towards, there's consumer trends that kind of influence our users, and they're going to expect more out of what SharePoint give them. So in those cases, we have to find out some way how to sweeten the pot. And to us, how we deviate from out of the box led to three things. So ease of use, pretty straightforward. We want our users to be able to find the information they're looking for without actually having to look it up or navigate through several pages to get there. Out of reach. So what we mean by this is sometimes there's information that we think is important or our users are looking for, but they don't have access to it because maybe because permissions or where they're at within the site. And then visual appealing, this is pretty obvious. Everything we build, we want to look awesome. That's why we branded all the templates to match what we thought our brand should be. And every one of our controls and workspace all kind of aligns with that brand. So social, as you can tell, is one of our biggest things that we invested in this year. For us, because of the needs and direction of Nationwide, we need to make some alterations to what SharePoint provided out of the box for social. So I'm sure most of you guys have seen this before. So it's the SharePoint 2013 newsfeed. Following is the new social component that you're going to get with SharePoint 2013. You can follow people, sites, documents, tags, each one of them presenting different activities in your stream. So people is going to give you things they say, things they do, things that happen to them, like job title changes. Documents, you're going to see when they're shared with others or when they've been modified. Sites, so site feeds occur at the site level. They're going to roll up to here when you follow those sites. And then tags, so any conversation that is using a tag that you follow will pop in this as well. Everyone, pretty obvious, all conversations will fall in this vertical. and then mentions anytime I'm mentioned, it's going to pop in this vertical. So what did we decide to keep? As I said, Yammer is kind of what the social direction we chose. So for us, it didn't make sense to keep most of it. We kept following because that was an awesome new feature that Yammer does not currently provide for us. And we want to make sure that our users can leverage that moving forward to 2013. We also removed conversations out of the following. So since all conversations are happening in Yammer, we don't want to confuse people who say, okay, do I collaborate on this in SharePoint? Do I collaborate this in Yammer? We want to make it very clear that, hey, if you're going to have a conversation, have it in Yammer. If you want activities, come to SharePoint. So we took that away as well. We also added a Yammer page to the link to the left-hand navigation there. When you click on that, it's going to lead you to a page we created that simply just displays your feed. That way, it's just another place where you can get that information. So obviously, just integrating Yammer at that newsfeed level wasn't going to be nearly enough. We need to push it down to our users at the site level. So we have a site provision request process. We thought this would be a perfect place to kind of ask our users, do you want Yammer on your site, whether it be project, team, community? So we went ahead and added a question, hey, would you like to enter a Yammer group? Of course you want to. So that prompts you with additional questions like, does your group already exist? In this case, we're going to go with no. We're going to create a pet owners group. We go out and verify the group doesn't already exist, and then we go ahead and create it for you if it doesn't. Now, on the other side, if you did have a group, we'll verify it, and then we'll just include that for you. So when I click Create Site, it adds it to a list, goes to the workflow that we created, and out the back, you're going to get a site, right? Right out in front, that's my dog, Walter, French Bulldog. You can talk to me about that later. Don't worry about the developer stuff. So pet owners, that is a right there front and center on your homepage. You have that group that you selected in your site provisioning process. So now, right there on your site, you can start communicating with that Yammer group. Now, say for instance, you didn't choose to embed a Yammer feed at the get-go. We went ahead and enhanced the getting started web part, and we added our own tile. So when you click on that tile, it's going to lead you to a page we created that instructs the user how to add that web part to your page, look just like we did with the site provisioning process. So how else we choose to extend SharePoint? We came across an issue where a lot of users didn't necessarily know how much space they had. All of our users, when they create a site, they get 2 gig out of the box, right? Only owners can see that storage information, not everybody. So we need a way to expose that so you're not just waiting for that, hey, your site's approaching the limit email. So we created a simple little quota bar. You'll see everything we create is simple but very useful. That tells you how much space you have, and then as you consume the space, it fills it up. That way you can make that good, educated decision, hey, I need to call the service desk and request some more space for my site before it's too late. With our site provisioning process, we also made the decision to make all sites public. So when you create a site through our provisioning process, all associates have access to that site. This was great. It's going to increase collaboration across teams. But there are some instances where it doesn't make sense for your site to be public, because maybe you're storing documents or information out there that shouldn't be shared company-wide. In that case, we decided to solve that issue and educate our users whether their site's public or private, which is a simple little lock. If it's open, that means all associates have access to your site. If it's closed, they don't. Really simple, but very useful to our users. And we actually, after we released this, had many users call in like, hey, my site's public. And like, yeah, it is. Make it private. So we went ahead and did that. And what's great about this is it actually lives at not just the site level. Every different subsite within that will show the lock as it needs to be. So if the root site level is open, but a web or subsite is closed, it's going to show that lock closed on that subsite. Then we went ahead and embedded this on every single page. That way, no matter where you're at, no matter what template you're on, you're going to see this information front and center. So next, we enhanced the global suite link. So obviously, we built this awesome product that Jeff just showed you. We want to make sure that no matter where you're at in spot, you can get there quickly. So we added the workspace link to the top right there. So everywhere it's available. We also changed SkyDrive to MyDrive. I know SkyDrive's turning to OneDrive. We thought that was confusing enough. But a lot of users didn't understand what SkyDrive was. So we took a poll out on Yammer to ask, hey, do you guys like this? They said no. What do you want the title to be? We gave them a couple options. They chose MyDrive. We changed it there and then changed everything SkyDrive within our spot site to match MyDrive and just made more sense for us. Last thing we added to the Global Navigation Suite is a navigation search bar. So we made this look and feel just like the SharePoint search box, but the difference is when you do query suggestions, which are just you search for something multiple times, you click on it up to 5 times, it adds it to the dropdown. Unfortunately, that's not consistent across all sites. So through our Enterprise Search Center, if we're searching for something and we search for it, the query suggestion is going to pop in there. But if you go to my site host, they're not going to be the same. Or if you go to another site, they're not going to be the same. We wanted those query suggestions to be available everywhere. So we created the search box to match just like you want a SharePoint search box, but we altered the service in the back end to then pull the query suggestions from our Enterprise Search Center. That way, whether you're on my site or anywhere else, you're going to get those same query suggestions and then be driven to our search center. So if I go ahead and click on Sean Domer, I'm going to go to our Everything Search page. This leads us to our next little customization that made a big impact. So out of the box for people results, for this promoted result, you don't get location and number. We thought that was crucial information that when you're searching for somebody, you're going to want that. So we went ahead and created a custom display template and associated it with that promoted result. Now, if I go to the people results page, it's the same thing. You don't get everything you would, we thought, was necessary when you're searching for people. So once again, we use that custom template to show you those two bits of information. And then lastly, with search, we added additional refiners. So you get department, job title, and people keywords out of the box. We wanted to expand upon that so no matter how you're searching for somebody, you could find them. So we added skills, past projects, interests, ask me about location and school. So you're going to find who you're looking for. That's pretty much guaranteed. So if I go ahead and click on my name, it's going to lead us to our last customization. This purely falls in that visually appealing area. There's no other benefit, but we just like it. So we added a location visualizer. So basically, based on your location, it's going to show the state and city. Behind the scenes, it's actually just 50 state images and a star. And using longitude and latitude and the size of the image, we dynamically place the star over that state. It's kind of fun. That way, every time we add into the location, we just have to add another list item, and then it creates that. So I want to leave you with this quote. We felt it kind of embodied our team. So whatever you do, do it well. Do it so well, when people see you do it, they want to come back and see you do it again. And then they want to bring back others to show them how well you do what you do. I'm going to introduce Matt Huber. So he is one of the lead developers in our Associate Workspace project. And he's going to give you a better idea of what we used to create the workspace.
Thanks, Sean. Hi, everybody. My name is Matt Huber. I'm very excited to talk to you today about the Associate Workspace. Essentially, this was our vision, and you saw Jeff and James go through the demo, and so I won't bore you with all the details. But essentially, we wanted to create a multiple device, multiple browser platform that was highly interactive and personalizable. So really, we had to ask ourselves, how are we going to build something like this? It seems like an insurmountable task. Well, we started whiteboarding sessions, and I'm sure many of you have been in sessions like this before. You start jotting down all these ideas and what you want to do and all the things you want to incorporate, the things that you see that are cool on the internet and everything. But essentially, we came up with a bunch of ideas, and this was feedback from our team and feedback from our users. And we decided we put it all on a whiteboard, and then we decided we would categorize it. So this is not all the categories are in everything, but we essentially have these three categories that we liked and helped us organize ourselves: the data, user experience, and social. Those are the things that were most important for us on the functional side for how we would create this. The data really helps us manage how many categories and apps that the user has when they go and fetch the data from the server. The user experience, that's really paramount to us because we want our users to feel engaged and use a cool product that's pretty flashy and is responsive and flows nicely. And then lastly, we want to keep our users engaged through a social aspect, giving them a voice inside of our application, and help us promote this application through a social mechanism. Now, we knew that we were going to have to roll our own code for a lot of this, but we knew we needed some help from some third-party applications. So I'm going to kind of tie those to these categories to help you visualize that. So for the data category, we used a thing called Knockout.js. This was an awesome product that helped us kind of manage the data that we received from the server and help say that if the user has this raw data of like two categories, that we're going to map it to this HTML template on the front end and render those two categories. It's very, very nice. It also helps us eliminate page refreshes because you're manipulating raw data that manipulates HTML. Next, the user experience. We use the combination of jQuery, an extension for jQuery called jQuery UI, and Bootstrap. It's Twitter Bootstrap. So the Twitter Bootstrap is really foundational for us for fonts, colors, icons, buttons, and things of that nature. And additionally, jQuery and jQuery UI provide a lot of the filler and transitions and effects that help kind of transition from one action to another. It also helps us with the drag and drop capability that you saw earlier. Next, we have the social aspect. And so Yammer was the no-brainer choice for us at Nationwide because of the success that we've had here. And it really helps us provide some buttons and functionality on each of the apps that help drive some user engagement and self-promotion. So anytime that a user likes or follows or rates an app, we're posting that to Yammer, and we're getting that kind of those plugs right through Yammer. On top of that, it's really easy to develop and integrate Yammer into your custom applications, so we definitely wanted to use that. So now that I've shown you some of the components that we've used, I want to show you how they fit on the actual user interface. So from that, I'm going to start from the out-of-the-box search page and show you how we got to that grid feel. So here's the out-of-the-box search page I'm sure you're all familiar with. We tidied it up a little bit and took the Spot logo and search, put it up in front and center. We added a bar on the very bottom that gives our settings and the marketplace links. And then in the middle here, we have our categories and the apps that get slotted in those categories. So this entire thing rests on the foundation of Twitter Bootstrap. I'm not going to point out the individual little pieces that the fonts and the colors and the logos and things of that nature that are used, but just know that foundationally we like to use Bootstrap for the workspace. Additionally, in this middle area, we're using Knockout.js. So literally, we wrote a template for how the categories render, and then the apps inside of those categories, so that when we receive the raw data from the server, it renders out what you see here. We wanted to incorporate some slick animations into the project, and you see on the very bottom how the drawer popped up for the settings. That's using jQuery and effects like that. So that's an example of how we use jQuery in our environment. Additionally, we use drag and drop for jQuery UI. So if you see here, I'm going to do a little demonstration. I take this site app, and I kind of drag it over to this bucket on the screen and drop it. This is all using jQuery, jQuery UI. And it's really nice because as developers, we can key on all these events when they are dragging and dropped. It just helps create a better user experience for us. We wanted to give our users some personalization options. So on the bottom here, I'm going to cycle through some of these different colors here. You saw this before. Jeff had mentioned this. We're using jQuery for this. When the users are clicking on a color or an image, it's changing the background and some div tags. And we have these hooked up to SharePoint lists, so we can change these at any time. It's kind of nice. But no, that's our home page. It's foundationally on SharePoint, but it's using the components jQuery, jQuery UI, Bootstrap, and Knockout.js. So now as a user, if I click on the shopping cart and I go to the app market, I want to explain this a little bit to you guys. So on the left-hand side, we have our categories. If I click on a category, it changes the apps that are displayed. On the very top, I have my promoted apps, so we can swap those in and out through SharePoint lists. And then on the very bottom, I have the actual apps that are available to users to install. Every one of these elements uses Knockout templates, so raw data mapped to HTML that renders out onto the screen. Categories are the same way. But now if I click on a category from the productivity, we use some jQuery to say, hey, what's filter the list that's on the bottom here, and Knockout renders those four items for me. When I click on the Anything Locator app, I'm launching a jQuery UI modal dialog. We wanted to keep our users kind of in this app, but just kind of transitioning between actions. And just to highlight some of the things that are in this modal dialog, the social aspects, right? So Yammer, this is actually very easy to implement like and follow buttons in the activity streams from Yammer into your application. And it provides a ton of value. So we notice that our users are talking about liking and following the apps, and they're updated in Yammer and coming back to SharePoint because we have this integrated. And then to highlight some other actions over here, I'm actually going to show you the action when we delete an app off here. As the user clicks the delete button, you'll see some feedback. And you normally won't see this, but I'm going to bring it forward on the background, what happens behind the scenes for the Anything Locator app as I delete it. Clicking on the button, I get some feedback as a user. Now you see, notice the uninstalled ribbon? It goes away automatically. I'm literally just telling it uninstalled false, right? And then the template takes care of rendering it for me. That's really the power of Knockout.js. So now I've shown you what we've done. Please feel free to come up to us after the presentation. We'd be happy to dive into any other technical details. But I'd like to pass it off to Chris to talk about how we made SharePoint successful at Nationwide.
All right. Thanks, Matt. All right, so who woke up this morning thinking you're going to hear about site buckets and Bootstrap and Knockout and all that stuff? All the developers, oh, yeah, I did. That was kind of all the other people are like, I got to pay for this thing. How am I going to do that? So what I'm going to hit briefly is how we built this enterprise collaboration kind of framework and how we've made this work at Nationwide. There's another session in this room at 1 o'clock today. Goes into deeper on adoption and org change. But I'm going to touch a little bit on that right now as I kind of move through this. So we had to change our culture at Nationwide. You know, traditionally, it's push a piece of paper, attach it to an email, and that's how we do work. And so we built this solution. And you guys saw this thing is, I always have to watch how I say this, it's a killer solution. It's a kicktail solution. So, you know, you got that sitting there, but what we learned is if you build it, they won't come. You can have the best solution out there, but you got to get people to engage in it and use it. And so we had to invest in org change for what we did. And so the way we kind of went about that is we talked about the enabling solutions. First thing we did, so for those of you from an executive or figuring out how do I pay for this and how do I manage it, we established governance and policy. We've got a number of governing groups that look at how do we do these things, how are we going to monitor, what are we going to do around it, what are the policies for usage. And so we established this at the forefront to say, how can you use it? We drove org change and adoption, and I'll hit that briefly, but you know, at the end of the day, we've invested heavily in this. You can see some of the stuff that we all have going now in here to make this work. And all of this comes together. So the whole point of what we've done is to improve the lives of our associates. I talked about protecting most what matters to, or what matters most to our members. This is providing what matters to our associates. So the associates are first and foremost are in the center, and we want to make them more productive, like what they do every day and what tools they use, and then that essentially lifts their engagement, which makes them more productive and they like what they do every day, and it just flows down the line. So quickly to run through this, I talked about associates are the center. We've built 7 personas around our associates that group them from everything from frontline to road warriors to executives to knowledge workers to information workers. We understand how each of them performs their job and what are the pain points. So as we incorporate how we build out the solutions, we listen to the pain points and understand what they need. Governance and policy, I talked about this. Social media policy that says what you can and can't do inside and out of Nationwide. If I go on Facebook or Twitter and say, man, I can't believe our company did this stupid thing, I may not have a job coming back in because I sign this every year. Same thing around Spot and Yammer. We have usage policies. At the end of the day, it's don't do dumb things. It gets a little bit sensitive sometimes because sometimes people define dumb differently. But really, this is how we deal with this. We've got our information risk management or the security teams involved in this and our Office of Privacy. And this is how we start to look at what can you and can't you do? And we regularly reinforce this. At least once a quarter, we send out the policies and say, hey, don't forget, don't do dumb things. From a monitoring perspective, the quick thing I'll talk about here, crowd enforcement. It was a very nervous time 6 years ago when people were like, you mean anybody can just type anything on this thing and it goes to everybody? It's like, yep. And what you learn is people at heart want to do good things. And so if people put stuff out there that shouldn't be out there, the crowd comes back and says, hey, you ought to take that down. And literally, I kid you not, over the 6 years, we've pulled less than 10 posts down off of Yammer that had to come down. So you think about that. All those messages and all those conversations, we've pulled more or less than 10 down. And what's been pretty powerful on that is you've seen the mindset of our executives from stop everything to no, I want to see who the people are who are talking because I can call them directly. So it's been pretty interesting to see. Last part, org change and adoption, and I'm going to fly through these next slides so you get an idea. We've invested, we have 3 full-time associates, and their job is driving org change and adoption in this space. They're out, we have a thing called spot doctors. They actually go out to different groups and talk to them about how to use the tools, how can I incorporate it in the workflow in the area I work in, what are just different things I can do with it. We've had, you saw the banner out front, I think Microsoft got that idea from us. But we actually had all the users at Nationwide sign the sign. And actually, there's a spot sticker on the sign out front, too. So as we go through, branding is very important. We have a radio broadcast. Every other Friday, we actually go and have a, it is a live radio broadcast. You'll see in here, Eric's one of our collaboration services folks. So is Nikki. Nikki's actually in the room over here. She loves to have selfies taken with her. So if you see her out there on the floor, seek her out. She'll love it. I get selfie Sundays all the time. Hey, look at this. But we broadcast things around the awareness and what we do with the tools, and we talk about it. We have executives come on. So now an executive at the top of the house is talking to everybody on this radio broadcast about how cool things are or what they're thinking or what they're doing, and associates can communicate back and forth as a two-way conversation that occurs. We created a mascot. It's not me. Could have been a few years ago, but it's not me. But we have a mascot that goes around and talks to people. Well, they don't talk, but with the collaboration team, and it just builds energy. You can see the t-shirts out here. We've got beach balls, which, by the way, Steph is here in the room. I think she's in the back. That's the person on the right. She's our quality and test lead, and Katie's the designer, so all the cool looking things came from Katie and her team. They also like selfies, so if you see them, go find them, take a selfie with them. We've got stickers that you can see, you know, stuff, you know, we brand everything. And so it kind of seems silly, but inside the organization, people are like, ooh, can I get one of those? Not the laptop itself, but the sticker. So at the core of all this, and I didn't want to go into a whole lot of detail, but it's our values of the team. So if you see people with the spot stuff today running around, you'll see a certain energy and a certain vibe from that group. And that's what enables this to happen. We have all the other things behind it. And so, you know, a couple of quick things. We learn by breaking things. We've established a culture that we have to try, you gotta push the culture. We actually talk pushing it forward. That's what we talk about when we try to change that culture. But you gotta break things. You gotta get in there and test it out. Progress over process. So we run in an agile environment and we try to get things moving, and so it's quickly going out there, and a lot of times people are like, well, hey, you didn't sign off on the form back here. It's like, yeah, too late, we gotta keep moving. There's a balance, but we really value progress over process. Done is better than perfect. We've established a culture of beta at Nationwide in this space. So some of those apps, people might go in and go, hey, that anything locator, when I click on the restroom, it takes me to the bathroom or the kitchen or something. And we'll go in and fix it, but if we don't get it out there, you can't get the feedback and you can't learn, so you gotta get things out there. So done is better than perfect, and fail early, fail fast, and fail often. We have to try to figure out how to do this stuff, and that's something that's critical to the success of the team. So I'm gonna bring Jeff back up and have him talk through a little bit of a retrospective as we kind of close this out.
All right, thanks, Chris. So summarizing, looking back, let's take you through some of our success. I wanna show you some of the stuff. Look at some of our metrics. We launched Spot in summer of 2012. We had 5,000 people hitting our intranet every single day. By February 2013, we had 17,000 when we took everything off of it, made it personalized, made it just a search box with search working. literally from 5,000 to 17,000. If you expand that on, you just look at the past few months, when we launched the application model, we went from when we enhanced the application model in December 2013, we went from 17,000 to 24,000 people the second they're able to start personalizing the experience, changing the colors, adding their own icons, all that stuff. That's 24,000 people now hitting our intranet every single day. 40% growth in less than a year. Right? As we look through some of these in layman terms, that's 8% exponential growth rate since our original launch with our internal intranet product. Right? That's 175 new nationwiders who will literally access our intranet every single week. 175 new people will come to our intranet and continue to use it every single week. It's the same pace of growth, if you're curious, since the numbers don't mean always a lot, it's the same pace of growth as Twitter. For an internal application, an intranet, we are able to sustain the same growth as an external product. I think that kind of hits the point, as we're trying to say, as you build these experiences that are consumer-like, and you focus on building those experiences that people want to use every single day, there's nothing stopping you from building a Twitter inside your own company. So since we've launched this product, if you want to do it too, and you can do it, we've been recognized by CIO, Forbes, Fortune, Wall Street Journal, which you'll see here on this next slide, Reagan. But with all this press and success, you might be thinking that we were kind of done. Right? And that's all we wanted to do. But honestly, we weren't done yet. That's not all we wanted to do. We were not done yet. We've actually been working on something very big back at the SPOT team. And to kind of close out the session today, I want to leave you with what we're doing next. Where is SPOT going in the future? Right? So for that, I'm going to play a quick video here for you.
When we launched SPOT over a year and a half ago, our goal was to bring Nationwide together to collaborate. We wanted to create an environment where people can be more productive. So we've been working on this idea around real-time collaboration in SPOT. Imagine if users can begin to receive notifications around the things that matter most to them. Documents being checked in or checked out, new members being added to a site, or even news around the latest company financials being released.
With this solution, not only can we show activities, we can also display notifications from other applications in SPOT. Think about the power when applications written by anyone can suddenly interact with their users wherever they reside in a collaboration experience. This is near perfect push technology.
We have this always connected vision where we can begin to access real-time analytics to learn from our users and create a more compelling experience. We will have a clear line of sight into how people are interacting with SPOT. What do they enjoy? What isn't working? Live user sentiment will suddenly be easy to obtain.
With our new real-time engine, we will be able to make exceptional product decisions. Data is helping us define the future, and that future is something magnificent to see.
So as you can see there, the team has been doing and focused on some pretty amazing things, and I'm excited, honestly, for what the future holds for SPOT, as data is helping us define that future. But I wanted to thank everybody for attending our session today. I know we're kind of right at the end, but if you do have questions, we will take some questions. With the time permitting, we ask you to use the microphones. But there's also a ton of people in this room up here in the front wearing SPOT shirts from our SPOT team that, if you want to after the fact, you don't want to be asking your question in front of everybody, you can feel free to pull anyone aside and ask them some of your questions. They'll be able to answer as well. So thank you for taking the time to pay attention to that.